ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, host of Jake and TD. There's nothing this man can't do. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm feeling good, man. How you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, on the Levis front, we were throwing it out there earlier for Titans fans. Like, what would you rather see? Would you rather see Levis back as the starting quarterback next year? Would you rather see them move on to a different option? And that's obviously a decision the Titans are going to have to make here as they move forward. One question we threw out there earlier this week, I'd be interested to get your opinion on. There's no doubt that Levis has improved from the start of this season to where he is now. My question for you is, how much better do you think Levis is from the ending point of last season until now? Because I think that may be a more difficult question to answer.
Yeah, I think he's better, but the problem is he started further behind than anyone in that building probably thought he would. Those mistakes and the different things that he was doing, that just, I mean, it wasn't acceptable. So he's improved and got those out the way, but the problem is the improvement and the level that he's at week 15 should have been that level at like week two, week one, you know? So there's progress, that's great, but it's not the progress, and he's not at the point where they want to need him to be now.
So how do you – I agree with you, TD. So how does that fit into the evaluation of the coaching staff? I would say that obviously there's some things Levis doesn't have around him in the offense, but obviously Brian Callahan was excited about him and was brought here largely because of his QB experience and obviously being a successful OC but not a play-calling OC at Cincinnati. Is it fair to look at the whole thing with Levis, even think back to last year when he – didn't make the same level of you know, killer mistakes, which of course that's early this year more, but still looking at the whole thing, is it fair to wonder about Brian Callahan and quarterback development?
Absolutely, it's fair. It's actually necessary. I mean, you can't just say, hey, you know, he has nothing to do with it. He was brought here to help Levis progress, right? And the thing is, what I take into account is I wonder, okay, this year Levis is playing to be the guy. It's a clear audition. I wonder if he was pressing too much because of that earlier this year, you know, and that's the real thing that you got to look at. But regardless, it is Brian Callahan's job to bring him along. And I think, like I said, the progress is coming, but he's just not where he should have been.
So, TD, bringing up Brian Callahan, I mean, he was asked about his job status earlier this week. And, look, I get it. When you're the head coach of a 3-10 football team, that question's probably coming at some point. There's no doubt it's been an incredibly disappointing season. On the other hand, it is his first season. And it's not like, you know, this was all roses before he got here either. So how do you view where that conversation stands with Brian Callahan and his job?
Yeah, well, everybody, when they're first starting their job, like the first year on the job, it you start at one point and you just continue to improve and get better. You're not the premier whatever forklift driver or mailman or whatever when you first start the job. So it's just funny to me how everybody says, okay, hey, fire him, he's not doing it. I guarantee you a lot of those people that are saying that were not good in their first year on the job. So to me, it's just like, okay, yes, you do need to have better results, but also at the same time, you could understand that it's a process. And we just, I'll say it over and over again, as society, we're so caught up in this microwave instant process, and it's just not always that way. And I think this is a good example of it. And again, the results are not there. It's not satisfactory, but at the same time, you got to understand that it is a process.
Yeah, no, I mean it's going to be. I mean, it's obviously this so much of this is tied up. You know, we got three things here: the quarterback, front office, and the coaching. And obviously, Titans fans are upset. But you know, it's also just this, if you do make a big move, first of all, what does that say about what you're doing? How would everybody have any confidence in you? And speaking of ownership, TD, and we've talked about this before too, and I am going to like look into this, but we've talked this week some about, you know, again, Amy Adams Strong not being publicly available. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so you've covered the Eagles and the Niners before this, for example. Like, what was the ownership availability there? And what's your sense for around the league? Like, what's a reasonable amount of availability for an owner?
Yeah, I'll say this. Jed York was always available. He spoke a lot. Now, I haven't seen him speak a lot more recently, but, I mean, you look at him. Steve Bisciotti, I remember he spoke. But most of it was Ozzie Newsome, you know, and then in Philly, Howie Roseman, he spoke, but he didn't really speak a lot. He spoke more to one of the media people. I think, you know, at the bare minimum, either Chad Brinker, Rand Carthon, or Amy Adams Strong should have spoke after the trade deadline. No one speaking after the trade deadline was that front office dropping the ball. And I've said this to multiple people, you know, that I'm talking about. One of them should have spoke. It is really bad that none of them spoke. So I would say the minimum, I think, once, at least once, you know, somebody had to talk and just, hey, look, man, we made this trade. This is where we're at. This is the direction that we're going. This is the expectation for this year. I think that needed to be reestablished.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, TD, Jeffrey Simmons, after the game on Sunday, talked about how he's tired of seeing his quarterback, you know, getting his block knocked off and lying flat on his back. And look, we all have eyeballs. We can see that he's absolutely right. It is a little bit of a change in terms of the public comments after the game. What did you make of what Jeffrey Simmons had to say on that front?
I think what he said was right. And I think he did have a right to make those comments. It wasn't along the lines of pointing fingers or anything like that, because, you know, that offense knows full well that, you know, he and the defense, they believe in them and they back them. So it's just one of those things where, hey, look, like, this is what I'm tired of seeing. It's bad. Let's fix it. You know, I think that's really what it was.
It feels like we hardly ever talk about the actual football games happening, but there is a game Sunday, TD. And I'm interested in your perspective, because I know you watch these teams closely. The Bengals, obviously, they've let some guys go on defense, and Mixon is, to me, that was a critical mistake by them. But when you look at that defense, I mean, Lou Anarumo, I know the guy knows how to coach defense. Are they just hopeless personnel-wise?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not getting a great play from their safeties. The guys up front, you know, Sam Hubbard, he's a legit pass rusher. Trey Hendrickson's the absolute truth. So you do have that. I think it's just, like I said, I think it's more in the secondary. You know, teams are finding ways to get those points up on them. They're giving up, I want to say, what, like 20-something a game? I mean, it's bad. You know, to have that record and have that offense that's scoring 28 to 30 a game, it tells you all you need to know about the defense.
No doubt about it. So, TD, we were going through this earlier. I mean, you're 3-10. You've got, you know, a month left of football here to try to weed your way through this thing. You've got Jacksonville on the schedule again, who just beat you. Indianapolis on the schedule, who has beaten you earlier this year. But it's not like these games are unwinnable. So how do you view where the Titans currently stand in terms of the draft part of this? And do you actually believe, like, the number one overall pick is legitimately in the running here for the Titans, given how bad, like, the Raiders and the Giants are, for example?
Yeah, I mean, Raiders and Giants are bad, but guess what? Titans are basically just as bad. So,
yep.
Yeah, I think the number one pick is legitimately in the running for them. Now, when you look at this thing as far as what's left to do this month, it's pride, right? And I love the way all of the guys are saying that. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, hey, you got to play for the number on your back. J.C. Latham, hey, you know, it's not like we're just going to line up there and say we don't give a F and it is what it is. No, I mean, Simmons said if you feel it is what it is and feel you don't have anything to play for, your ASS will be out the league soon. these are very strong statements that these guys are making. You know, Calvin Ridley, he said, look, man, you know, I'm trying to get 1,000 yards. I want to help this team. I believe we're out of the playoffs, but we got to build momentum going into next year. And I think that's what it's about. Like, you build the winning culture. Like, it wouldn't be a coincidence if this team won all the games down the stretch and had a good year next year. I'm not saying they're going to win all the games. So that's, you know, leave my timeline alone. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if they were to do that, you know, that's the goal. That's why it's the goal for them to be able to, you know, build that momentum. And then as far as the draft, you know, one other thing, like if you don't have the first or second pick, I really don't think it matters if you're anywhere from 3 to 10. Because first and second pick, you're looking at Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. Me personally, I love Cam Ward as a prospect. I think he's a very dynamic player. But I don't think this organization can afford to draft him. I think the only quarterback that they could draft and expect to, you know, have some type of success is Shedeur. And it's just because I feel he's a very polished prospect. He's a lot like C.J. Stroud. And I think he's ready to go now. I think there's just too many questions. Like with Cam Ward, you get a lot of those Will Levis type of plays, right? You know, where it's like, come on, man, why did you do that? You know what I mean? But then at the same time, you're like, wow, I love that you did that. So to me, Shedeur or bust at quarterback. But then if you look from 3 to 10, I mean, you know, Abdul Carter, Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, you know, Will Campbell's in there. Like, there's a lot of different prospects that are pretty much like on a similar level that you could get between those 7, 3 to 10.
Well, yeah, real quick on that too, TD, because I think their realistic ceiling is 3, you know, just looking at the, you know, I'd be surprised if they're better than that 3. If they are there and it goes QB, is Travis Hunter enough of a prospect that you could get a haul out of that? Not like a number one pick haul, but a pretty good haul.
I mean, it's possible you find 10. As a matter of fact, I believe the Jets traded up to get Jamal Adams at 2, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah.
I mean, there have been times where teams traded up to get a guy. And, I mean, if someone like the Jaguars or something like that, like they feel they're a playmaker away, boom, you might have a good trade. So I wouldn't rule it out.
TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll catch you later on Jake and TD, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Jerron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got some tickets to give away to the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl between Missouri and Iowa at Nissan Stadium coming up on Monday, December the 30th. Appreciate TD for being on with us in the last segment. A lot of reaction to the Titans on our text line. TD pretty clear, Joe. I mean, he feels like Shedeur is like the one quarterback that he would entertain drafting if you're the Titans. And much past that, based on where they're drafting, not sure if he would go for anybody else in the draft.
Although, yeah, some good words for Cam Ward too, which I agree with. I mean, Cam Ward intrigues the heck out of me. I mean, I could see both of them being great. I think it's possible, you know, but you know, you need to probably barf for Arch doesn't really work. I don't know, but a lot of people are talking about, you know, 26 and Arch. So get ready for that. I'd like to go to Kenny G on the text line. Our good friend Kenny G. He likes to rip us. He thinks that we love Vrabel. I think that's a big theme with him.
I do love Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, right, but like we, I guess, never criticize Vrabel or something.
Oh,
I don't know,
okay.
But. His point being, I would rather hear from Rand than Amy. You know, he says it's beyond silly calling her a bad owner. You're only doing so because she fired an underperforming head coach you have a man crush on. You constantly say, let football people make the football decision. Wait a minute. Who are you texting? What show are you texting? Anyway, his point, you know, not many owners speak to the media the way you want. Not many fans care if she speaks. And I want to hear from Rand. Well, look, I agree, and just like TD said, you know, we sometimes talk about ownership. I am going to separate the two, though. Rand should also talk periodically. He should, again, be more accessible.
That should be a given.
Yeah, like both things can happen, right? But you separate the owner just like once a year, or when there's something huge, when something like last year happens, you know, the doing a video with Mike Keith is just not, it's not good enough on your own website. It just, it's weak. And again, this owner, considering what just happened for her financially from the people here, it also changes things. But I'm with you on Rant. Rant should speak more. I mean, I understand the idea of not talking like during the season. It's a football coach. I get the coaches. But again, as Gentry pointed out in the column he wrote yesterday that's gotten a lot of attention, deservedly so, you know, at this point, it is just Brian Callahan is just speaking for everything.
Yeah.
You know? And when it's all these things that are going bad, you got to have someone besides him. You can't just make him do it all. So separate things. But, yeah, everybody we've talked to, I mean, here's another one, Jed York, there you go, talks all the time. I mean, like, you're not finding too many owners who are complete recluses who never talk to anybody.
Well, and the bottom line is part of what he's talking about there is true. Like, if the Titans were winning all these games, the fans wouldn't care. They would not care if the owner's speaking. But they're not. Right. And they're losing all the time. And it costs an arm and a leg to get into the next stadium with the PSL prices. And again, you're watching a horrible product, which, by the way, like it or not, if you want to, you can trace the horrible product to some decisions that she's made, right? Like, I mean, that's what it is in today's NFL. And the bottom line is, since she's made the decisions that she's made to fire Robinson and Vrabel, they're horrible. They're one of the worst teams in the league. So, yeah, like it does matter. And I understand that. Is it the world's most important thing that the owner speaks to the media? No. And if they were winning games, would anyone care? No. But they're not winning games. And it is a horrible product. And every now and then, you know, once every year, I don't think it's a whole lot to ask for your owner to be accountable and to address the concerns of her fan base that is going on with this football team right now. I mean, this should be a given. I don't know why this is such a huge deal, but apparently it is.
Yeah. I get the idea. I mean, look, if you're a fan, I also get the perspective of, listen, I know the owner can't change. So I want the people who are actually doing the football stuff. Like, that's who I'm more interested in. And that's fine. But yes, ultimately she has created the situation. I mean, like it or not. Yeah. Now, again, some people like the John Robinson firing. Some people like the Vrabel firing, all that. That's fine. But at this very moment, with everything that's gone on, all the public messaging and lack thereof in some ways, it does matter. It's not insignificant. It means something. And I think, you know, what Charles said yesterday was, and the guy's been covering this league for 30 years or 25 years or whatever. I mean, you just don't want to go there as an owner.
No doubt. What did you make of TD's comments on Brian Callahan in terms of his job security as they move forward? 3-10 in his first season. TD seems to be of the opinion that moving on from the coach after 1 year would be just an atrocity. What do you make of what he had to say there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I certainly, the coach isolated, like I say, that to me doesn't compute at all for me, based on what I know. I mean, what I know is the product, which is bad, and it has not been an impressive season of coaching, but also publicly with Callahan, how he's handled things. And just the idea that, to me, if you do that in this league 1 year, there better be some unbelievable malpractice going on behind the scenes, right? I mean, that's what I think. I don't think the product is so bad. Like, there's no redeeming qualities we've seen all year. We were praising him after the Houston win. So, again, the Callahan discussion on its own, to me, that would be wild. The full, you know, caught up in the idea of if they move on for the front office, then it's like, well, he's just, you know, this is just how the new GM has to have his own guy. Okay, well, that's different, right? I mean, that could make sense. It would be too bad for him. It'd be a rut. You know, if you're him, you're looking back and saying, why did I pick that freaking place?
That'd be tough.
But that's the only way to me it could even be conceivable.
And then the Levis part of this, too. I mean, we've had a lot of people weigh in today about whether or not he should be the quarterback next year. And if so, is it more because you don't love the other options that are out there? You know, that's only going to get more and more of a talking point as we go on here, Joe. You got a month left in the season. We'll see how he plays coming up down the stretch. But, like,
I've said this a couple weeks ago, and I stand by it now. Like, if you're the Titans, along with everything else that you've got to look at this offseason in terms of your roster and what you're trying to build, quarterback's got to be a big part of it. Like, you got to look long and hard at the quarterbacks in this draft. And look, maybe you get to the end of it and you come to the conclusion that you don't really love any of them, or you're not in a position to draft the one guy or two guys that you really like coming out of this. But I think, you know, people always say, in front office people always say, that they look at everything every offseason and they're always evaluating quarterbacks and all that stuff. And maybe that's true to a certain degree. We all know that there are certain teams and certain front offices where there's no reason to evaluate a quarterback. Like, it just doesn't make any sense based on where you are as a franchise. I'd be looking long and hard at each one of these quarterbacks if I'm the Titans this offseason. And if you get to the evaluation that they're not good enough, then so be it. But that has to be a part of your offseason plan here.
No, the offseason has to be you are taking the approach of a team that's taking a quarterback. You have to. And you may even in your heart believe like the Levis, but you have to be as schooled and studied on all these guys as any other franchise in the league is, even the ones that know they're taking a quarterback.
Yes.
Because you cannot mess this up. I want to get some quick text. It's popping. And I'm text line guy today. Matt says, I very much enjoy the fact we don't have a Dallas Cowboys situation where Amy's always, 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 always in front of the camera. Okay. Again, we're not saying that. There is a medium ground there. Texter asks, how many press conferences did John Robinson have when he was a GM? I remember his press conference after Kevin Dodd. Yeah, and his press conference was, guys, I screwed up, I own it, and then ask him questions. And then Pekarski was like, yeah, I know you said it, but I still want you to say it again. I mean, that's basically what happened, okay? I mean, John Robinson did press conferences when
major moves were made.
When things happen, which is it's what you should do. And by the way, John Robinson also was very accessible beyond that to people, I believe, everybody who covered that team. And that is another thing that a GM needs to understand, is being accessible to basically the primary press corps. Dylan says, if I was the owner, I'd want to speak on my decisions because I want clarity on why I made those decisions rather than having rumors and speculations going on about why I made those decisions. Yeah. Sure. If you have good answers for people. Yeah, that's true. That would be the prerequisite there. If you're confident in your reasoning, then I would think you would want to talk.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Bowl season is upon us in college football. The college football playoff right around the corner. And we are in the thick of the NFL season as well. Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in the competition.
Yeah, well, apparently Nick did do his lock. I mean, I haven't listened to the audio, but I'm going to believe Nick that he said lock on whatever that one that he won was. So, you guys had great weeks. 5-1 with your lock, Robbie. 4-2 with your lock, Nick. I went 3-3 with no lock, which means our standings. Nick, 15-40, 11-4 in a lock, 61 points. Me, 51-39, 6-9 on my locks, 57 points, 4 back. And Robbie now up to 48-42, 6-9 on locks, and 54 points. So only 3 behind me.
Yeah,
only
baby.
7 behind Nick. We got a race here.
Yeah, baby. Coming down to crunch time here. We begin with Army and Navy. Army, a 6.5-point favorite in this matchup. Nick Kieser, who we got in the Army-Navy matchup?
I might be disowned if I go against Army, and for the sake of my sanity and for my life, I'm going to go with Army minus 6.5 this weekend.
Going with Army minus the 6.5. Joe Rexrode, I know where you're going, but make it official anyway.
So, no. So here's the thing, real quick.
Yeah, what are you about to do?
Well, hey, man, like this Pigskin Pick'em. I mean, look, I grew up rooting for Army. My dad was an Army guy, not a West Point guy, but an Army guy. So this is a tradition that we always had. I'm covering the game tomorrow. Very excited to do it. I have always loved Army and rooted for Army in this game, but I'm picking Navy in the 6.5.
Oh.
Blake Horvath, man, throws it around, and I actually think, and they've lost 2 in a row, and I think they're gonna outright win tomorrow.
Wow. I'm stunned.
You can't just pick with your heart, man.
This is buns.
Give me Army and make it my lock. I'm locking down on Army.
I feel great about it heading into tomorrow's matchup. Rex Rhodes going to rue the day that he went against Army and took Navy in this matchup. I'm so stunned by this.
Man, I'm an Army-Navy traitor. I'm sorry.
Good gracious.
I hope I win.
Ooh. We move to the Titans and the Bengals coming up at Nissan Stadiums. Joe, Cincinnati, a 4.5-point favorite in this matchup. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done picking the Titans on anything until I see something very different. So give me the Bengals. It's almost my lock, but I'll just go Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cincinnati as well. Joe Burrow might score 35 points in this game. Now, look, Cincinnati's defense is also cheeks, but I don't have enough confidence in the Titans' offense to put up enough points. Give me Cincinnati minus the 4.5. Nick Kieser, who we got?
I do not have confidence in the Titans as well. Give me the home alone looking Joe Burrow to take down the two-tone blue this weekend.
Home alone. You making a Macaulay Culkin comparison?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. How about that? I mean, I guess, I don't know that I've ever thought about it, Joe, but he does kind of look like it.
Oh, really? Oh, hell yes, he does. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
Y'all have never realized that. Wow.
No, I've seen that comparison made. There was actually some good tweets this week showing Macaulay Culkin, like, you know, next time they try to break in the house and it's like Macaulay Culkin.
The memes are insurmountable whenever I see them.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right, the Buffalo Bills taking on the Detroit Lions. Big time matchup in the NFL this weekend. Lions a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Give me the Lions. I'm done picking against the Lions. The Lions are going to win every game from here on out. I'll take the Lions minus the 2.5 against the Buffalo Bills. Nick Kieser, who you got in this matchup?
I think Josh Allen's going to roll over the Lions, Robbie. So give me the Buffalo Bills this weekend. They are one of the NFL's hottest teams, and I think they dethrone the Lions this weekend.
Joe Rexroad. The Bills and the Lions. Lions a 2.5-point favorite.
A mighty team that will not yield. Thank you. I thought I'd be in an island. Absolutely give me the Bills. They're going to kick their ass. The Lions aren't going to win another game this year.
Jeez. Just the disrespect continuing to mount for Rexroad and the Lions. At least that stays consistent. Let's head to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So I'm looking at Patriots, Cardinals minus 6. Cardinals haven't been playing great lately. You know, there's some life with the Patriots, but I think the Cardinals are going to win this game by double digits. Give me the Cardinals and make it my lock.
Wow.
A mighty team.
Guarantee. Locking down on the Arizona Cardinals minus the 6 against the New England Patriots. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
You know, Kirko Chains has looked really bad. I think he's got no touchdowns and 8 picks in his last 3 or 4 games, maybe 2. But look, I think he needs a pick-me-up weekend, so give me the Falcons minus 3.5 over the Raiders this weekend.
Going against the lowly Las Vegas Raiders, Falcons minus 3.5 against Las Vegas. Give me the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl. Memphis, a 4.5-point favorite against West Virginia. All eyes will be on the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl, which I believe is taking place on Tuesday. I'll go with the Tigers minus the 4.5 against the Mountaineers. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, good. I love it. I love the name of the bowl. I've had little Scooters, pretty good. And also, good for you. Like, I totally didn't even look at the bowl games on this. Great job.
I got another one coming for you here in just a second.
Oh, my goodness. See, look at you.
Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I think they might be the fakest 12-win team ever, but this weekend I think they continue their hot streak of whatever you want to call. I think it's very lukewarm of a hot streak, but give me the Chiefs minus 4.5 over Jameis Winston and the Browns.
You just call the Kansas City Chiefs the fakest 12-win team ever, Joe. Your thoughts?
I know that wasn't the fakest. I mean, they got to be the fakest 12-win team that's won 2 straight Super Bowls ever, right?
Yeah, true. I would think so. I would think so. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Yep, I got that same one. Give me Chiefs. I got to go with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to. I think they're actually going to win a game somewhat comfortably in this time. I actually think they will. They'll win by, like, more than a touchdown over the Browns.
In the Art of Sport L.A. Bowl coming up, give me UNLV plus the 1.5 against Cal. I'm actually kind of stunned that Cal's a favorite in this game. I mean, it's basically a pick 'em, but I'll go with UNLV plus the 1.5 against Cal in the Art of Sport L.A. Bowl, Joe.
That's a great another great bowl, and that's a good pick, man. I definitely like that pick. God, you're going to kick our butt this week.
My final individual selection, Sunday Night Football. the Green Bay Packers against the Seattle Seahawks in what could be a wild card round preview. Packers favored by 2.5. Give me the Green Bay Packers, -2.5. I think they're going to win by double digits. Double digits on the road against Seattle. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Okay, and I'm sticking the NFL. I got Colts at Broncos. Broncos -4.5. Huge game for the Colts to stay relevant. And obviously a huge game for the Broncos. I'm starting to buy the Broncos, man. I'm starting to buy the Broncos. I think they're going to win this game by 10 points. Give me the Broncos.
What was the line on that one?
-4.5.
-3.5 is what I saw.
Oh, it's -3.5. Okay.
Even better.
Even better.
Going with Broncos -3.5 against the Colts. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
Well, I say -3.5 because that's where I'm going as well. So, Joe, don't forget it this time because this is going to be my lock this week. I am a huge fan of Bo Nix, and their defense has looked great as well. So, yeah, give me Denver and Sean Payton over the Colts.
A lot of similar thinking between Nick Kieser and Joe Rexroad this week. A lot of similar thinking.
Yeah. Well, he is winning, so. But I hope that doesn't mean that Robbie's about to zoom past us, man. These bowl picks.
I don't think so.
I really blew it not doing bowl picks.
God, I mean, Kieser had Western Kentucky for him on a platter on Wednesday in the Boca Raton Bowl and chose not to go there.
What's up with that?
Had the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl available to you on Thursday and chose not to do that either. All these bowl games,
Western Kentucky,
you're leaving on the table, quite disrespectful.
The Hilltoppers blew it last week. I'm not feeling their bowl game. I'm really not.
The thing is, like, next week I would start really dipping into bowl games, but, like, it'll be like, I mean, we got the college football playoff.
I mean,
I'm going to get some Mayo Bowl in here somewhere, though, I promise.
I mean, we're going to make the selection of the Pop-Tarts Bowl whenever that takes place.
We have to.
Mandatory here on the program. Point.
That should be an annual tradition, actually.
There are three mascot Pop-Tarts. I did see that on X the other day.
Really? Three
of them? Yes, there are three. I think it's vanilla, chocolate, and some other one. I didn't catch the other one. I don't remember. It doesn't come to mind.
Well, what a matchup. That's on Saturday, December 28th, Iowa State and Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So we'll have to be sure to remember
that. That's a nice way to ring in my birthday the night before. Wow.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans. Final thoughts on a busy weekend in sports coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. And it's time for our 12 Days of Christmas. Brought to you by Moments Peace Salon at Day Spa. Got a $100 gift card for a Moments Peace to give away to caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a $100 gift card for a Moments Peace and will be qualified to win the grand prize of a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. So make sure you take advantage of that. Also, it is bowl season, and the Game National Sports Network at your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Tomorrow, tune in for the Cricket Celebration Bowl as Jackson State takes on South Carolina State on 1025-1063, the game. Kickoff at 11 a.m. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. And even though Joe Rexroad and Nick Kieser don't care about the bowl games that are very disrespectful, I do, and a lot of us do, so make sure you check that out.
Raymond and Franklin, by the way, says, New Michelle celebrating with some birthday Pop-Tarts. You know, anybody who's still calling Nick New Michelle, like, you're, I know you're a real one. I know you've
Absolutely.
Been with us for a long time. We gotta go back to that. New Michelle.
I like it. That's
Robbie,
good stuff.
Joe, and New Michelle.
Yes. Very good stuff. Joe, final thoughts on a game that we've not spent a ton of time talking about this weekend. The Titans and Cincinnati are actually playing football. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah. You know, the Bengals defense is, we were talking a little bit with TD, but yeah, you know, not much all week. The Bengals defense is bad. Cheeks. Maybe even, you know, it's bordering on buns, you know. It's pretty bad, which is how Joe Burrow could have the numbers he has and they could have the record they have. You know, he mentioned safety. Jesse Bates is a guy who, you know, used to make a huge difference, for example, for them. But they do have pass rushers, like TD said, though. So, you know, again, especially obviously Hendrickson is a monster. Hubbard's good. Ohio State guy, Sam Hubbard. You know, this is still from that perspective, that defense, what the one thing that they seem to do well is, of course, the kryptonite for a Titans offense.
Yeah, there is that. Well, and look, just going through their results here, I mean, they ended up, I think they only gave up 20 last time out to Dallas. So that's a step in the right direction for a Cincinnati team that's been abysmal on that side of the ball all year. But just kind of going through it right now, they've given up 44 to Pittsburgh, 34 to the Chargers, 35 to the Ravens, 24 to the Raiders, 37 to Philadelphia. I mean, this is a horrible defense that the Titans are playing against on Sunday. Do not be the team in back-to-back weeks that makes horrible defenses look like they've got a clue. You only scored 6 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Please don't make me show up to work on Monday morning and be talking about a team that scored 10 points against the Cincinnati Bengals. Please. I don't care if you win. I don't care if you give up 700 yards to Joe Burrow. Please don't make me show up to work on Monday morning and talk about a team that only managed 10 points against Cincinnati on Sunday. Please. I'm begging you.
Please, just one 38-35 loss. Is that asking too much? Okay, even like 27-23. That'd be good, right?
Yeah.
That'd be fine. That is, I mean, really, like, if you're a Titans fan right now, and look, if you're a Titans fan who's, no, I want my team to win. TD talked about the, you know, the winning streak at the end of a season can lead into next year. I have seen that happen. That's happened a lot in the NFL. I mean, and by the way, the Lions, it happened with them. That's not a perfect comparison, but that did happen with them a couple years ago. But if you're, I think most Titans fans, it's like, offense, be entertaining. Will Levis play well? So we get back on the hope train with him, but lose a close game and help your draft stock. How about that?
Yeah.
Checking all the boxes. I think probably for most Titans fans at this point.
I will say, look, they've, for the most part, the Titans have done a pretty good job with not having L'Jarius Sneed out there in terms of the way their corners have played. I am very interested to see how the Ja'Marr Chase matchup goes this weekend. I mean, you're talking about a different deal with that guy. I'm interested to see how the Titans defense handles that.
Owusu knows him well.
He does.
Knows him well from practice. I mean, maybe that went really well for Owusu. Maybe we're about to find out he used to dominate him in practice. And that's actually how Ja'Marr Chase got good.
Maybe so.
You know, I mean,
look, I'm open to anything with Owusu. We've barely seen him step on the field this year, so it's nice to see him get a pick last week.
Yeah, he steps on the field and gets a pick. It's like, okay, well, that might have been good all year. What will it look like, if it will look like anything ever, with Owusu and Sneed both on the field? Shout out to Andrew on the text line. He says, what about new Munson? Now, there we go, in old school, baby.
There we're talking.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're talking Newport.
We can get Newport, yes, too. He was our producer for a good chunk.
No, let's come up with something new. Come on, listeners.
Wow. Keys are putting his foot down.
Weekend, yeah. Setting some boundaries going into the weekend. All right.
Joe, quick question for you that has nothing to do with the actual matchup this weekend. What do you think is going to happen with T. Higgins? You know, that was all talk last offseason about T. Higgins. Could the Titans get involved with T. Higgins? And then, of course, they went and signed Calvin Ridley, so we knew that was probably over at that point. But what do you make of T. Higgins, the last 2 years that he's had? This year he's played 8 games. He's got 45 catches for 581 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, obviously, I mean, you go back 2 years ago, and you're talking about 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, over 100 targets, 74 catches. And the last 2 years, he's run into some injury problems, 656 yards last year in 12 games, 581 in 8 games this year. Not a good time for T. Higgins to be falling off the table from a production standpoint.
No, not at all. And, you know, I think we talked about it before, kind of, I was a little, it's like, man, he's good, obviously good, but he's definitely better than this guy. But remember the Corey Davis effect, right? Like, sometimes good, pretty good players just happen to like ride some coattails and just be between receiver, quarterback, and also, by the way, running back previously, propped up a little bit, and I think that's true of him. So it hasn't worked out well for him in that regard. I think a lot more people probably think that now.
I need the Titans to sign him now. So the first question we can ask him is, so Rex Rhodes compared you to Corey Davis. Your thoughts on that comparison, and do you feel like you're equal or better to Corey Davis moving forward here?
And he'll be like, wait, who's Corey Davis?
That could be the case.
That's possible.
Could be
he's better than him. Okay, this is going to be taken out of context. I can already see it. I'm just saying it's a similar type of deal, I think, although with a better player. Okay,
what do you think that crowd looks like on Sunday? I mean, it's supposed to be, I think, in the 50s with a significant chance to rain. So what do you think that crowd looks like on Sunday, Cincinnati and the Titans?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a Bengals takeover necessarily because, like, you know, I mean, there'll be Bengals fans, there'll be Orange, but, like, how excited are they? Probably some people who were thinking about doing it, they're like, you know what, do you want to do the 4.5-hour drive down and back? So I think it's going to be – I mean, it'll be more visiting fans than last week, but it might be less people overall. I mean, probably something similar, very, very sparse would be my guess.
That would be my guess as well. Predators in the losing streak yesterday. They get the 4-1 win against the Dallas Stars. They're back at it tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche. I'll have your pregame show. I believe it's 7 tomorrow is when the pregame show begins, so I'll have that for you on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Joseph, enjoy yourself covering the Army-Navy game.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
We'll be back on Monday morning. You're listening to 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe coming up next.